Well, in the next half hour of the show, well, this half hour and in the next half hour of the show, my guest is Iqbal Ishani. And Iqbal Ishani is, well, he's a musician, a singer, a songwriter. He's a filmmaker, a sound engineer, and a Qigong instructor, among many other things as well, I think. He's been putting a lot of his passions together in the last few years and has recently released a recording called A Sound Journey, which brings together his interest in music, in sound, and in the power of sound for healing as well. I had a chance to talk with him yesterday. We recorded a conversation which ranged all over the map, and one of the places on the map we touched down was in Spain. And as he grew up in Kenya and then traveled all around Europe, and Iqbal Ishani, while he was traveling, was of course also very interested in music of the place as he was visiting, and here's what happened to him in Spain.
I've had some extraordinary experiences in Spain, but one of them was that I was looking for a guitar, a handmade guitar, and so I ended up in Granada. And in Granada, there's on the way to Alhambra, there's, you know, in these little coves on the way, people, the guitar makers, and I went every day. I think I don't know how many weeks it took me to find my guitar, but it took me a while, and in this, I used to go in the evenings and watch people in the mountains playing music. And I ran into some gitanos or gypsies, and they were playing music, and I was fascinated. I thought, wow, this sounds so lively, and yeah, it's energetic music. And I said, I'd love to be able to play this. And I was just sitting there drinking my good wine, and this person came up and said to me, in my Indian language, which shocked me no end. Here I was trying to learn, you know, Spanish, and he talked to me in Gujarati. I couldn't understand what had happened, but this man had actually, a lot of the gypsies had come from India. And he'd kept this tradition. And so it sort of blew me away, and I said, would you teach me the simple chords? And this is was born in those days, this song and how to change the chords. And it's just how you experience how life comes at you. So it's a vente conmigo, Jaremo. Come with me. I'll take you to a place in the mountains. Yeah, donde me temo. So this is just the words that are happening, but the music, it manifests itself more and more, and these are different forms of expression.
Vente con amigo, Jaremo. Vente con amigo, Jaremo. Una huecasito en el monte, y tú y yo metemos. Que yo no quiero beber así, que yo no quiero beber ahí, para buscarlo. Para buscar la.
I was just thinking of the words that, you know, the last part was where I'm really criticizing. We're living in a world where we have to really look after our environment. And I'm saying, el mar, te pregunto. I'm asking the water, the sea, you know, why are we molesting the sea? It's so precious. That's actually what I'm saying in that song. And really, we have to start thinking consciously about our planet and looking after it.
Yeah, my preguntó, te preguntó, te preguntó una pregunta. Por qué, te molesta?
A little music from Iqbal Ishani's Sound Journey. We'll hear more from Iqbal Ishani in the next half hour here on North by Northwest. In the last half hour, we heard a little from Iqbal Ishani. And Iqbal Ishani is a musician, a singer, a songwriter. He's a Qigong instructor, and he's also a very talented sound engineer. He's been involved with the film industry for a large part of his life. He grew up in Kenya and traveled around many parts of the world studying languages as a young man. He ended up living in Germany for quite a few years, where he worked in the film industry and again traveled around the world, and more recently has moved to British Columbia, and more recently still has recorded a CD called Sound Journey, Heart, Body and Soul, and we're going to be talking about that, but start out by talking about his very interesting childhood and early years. Here is Iqbal Ishani.
I grew up in a colonial country, which was Kenya, East Africa, and there I had, my father spoke to me in English because we were a British colony. My mother spoke to me in Indian, which is Gujarati, which is my native Indian language from India. And I was seeing people with a different sort of face, and with them I'd have to speak in another language. So that happened to be Swahili. So as a child, maybe around three, I was already speaking in three different tones or sounds, not realizing that these were languages, but I knew that if I spoke with that person in that sound, he would react and somehow understand or smile or be happy or carry me or whatever. It's communication, yeah.
So that was the beginning, just sort of feeling those different sounds or working with them or discerning them even.
That's right, and growing up with that, you know, and so that once you start getting involved on that level, later on, the other sounds that come into your life, you know, like the European sounds came in, French, Spanish, German, and it became easier.
Now, sound recording entered, yeah, which has been a major component of your career for many years. That entered your life at a very early age as well, I think.
Well, I had an uncle who came back from Hong Kong, and he always used to bring all the kids a little present, and he gave me a small recording machine. It was a tiny little machine with, you know, sort of bobby pins, and you could tape the people with a built-in mic in those days, which was quite extraordinary.
Would have been a little reel-to-reel tape recorder, was it?
Yeah. And so that's, you know, that was like my mini Nagra as I grew up. It was a big Nagra. But in those days, I think I was about five or six, I'd run around and create little shows, you know, get people to speak and have animal sounds and all this, because I was born in Africa and it was still developing, you know, like a back garden. It still had sometimes zebras coming in, and so my father built a little fortress. And it was pretty wild still.
One of the things that we're going to talk about today in just a few moments, your music and
right,
the whole idea of using sound, using music for healing. How early on in your life was music really important?
My father used to love music. My grandfather was playing music. My mother was singing. So I think even as I was in her womb, she was singing. I grew up with music at a really, really young age. I remember we used to have people coming, you know, in the Indian culture, you have concerts which go on the whole night. So it's a celebration. You're celebrating something. And the expression of this celebration can be sound and music. And so you would have people like Vilayat Khan, who were the classical musicians of the Indian side. And I remember as a four-year-old, I was in Zaire. And one of my uncles sort of pulled me out of bed. And he said, come and see this. And I went out and I had my pajamas. I remember I had my pajamas on. It was a warm night. And I saw, I think, about 100 people glistening their bodies, and they had these fire torches, and there was about 50 people with drums, and they were they were drumming, and each one was talking with another one, with another drum. And I kept hearing this as a child, and it just grabbed me, this fire, this ritual drum. And they were, of course, working as a group to communicate with the higher powers. And as a child, one is much more open. You know, as you grow up, you tend to put that down a little bit. Anyway, I'm rediscovering all this again.